This is Jack. Certainly good to be with you today. Certainly desire your prayers. Would like to speak to you today, and I feel like this is a very, very important message that we all need to look at and look at real close. If I had a thought for today and I were to title this message today, I would think about the absence of God. The absence of God. Our scripture today comes from the book of Psalms, the second chapter, the first through the third verse. And the word of God reads, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." This psalm was written by David and quoted by Peter in his sermon in Acts, in the fourth chapter of Acts. It's a prophetic psalm about the coming of God's anointed, and that is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and the reaction of the earthly rulers to his coming. Herod plotted to kill him after he was born. Various times during his ministry, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, Sadducees, the scribes, they attempted to stone him. The people, the Jews, imagined a vain thing. They imagined that the Messiah would be an earthly king who would liberate them from Roman rule. But when the Messiah did come, they imagined that he was not the Messiah. A very vain thing indeed. Vain means without success or result. The Jews imagined in vain that Jesus would be an earthly king. Then they imagined in vain that he was not really their Messiah. But the kings of the earth, those in authority, the religious leaders, Caiaphas, the high priest, Pilate, and the Roman governor, they raged against him, and they took counsel together against him and crucified him. From the beginning and throughout the history of the human race, man has been at war with God. Paul said in the book of Romans, "The carnal mind is enmity against God. All men are born with a carnal nature and are natural enemies of God. By nature, man loves darkness. He loves the things of the world. He will not naturally follow moral laws." So from the beginning of time, man has been trying to eradicate God and set himself up as God so he can do the evil that is natural for him to do. In today's text, David describes the kings and rulers of the earth getting together and trying to remove God. They take counsel together against God and against his anointed, Jesus Christ. They think that if they join together, they will be able to defeat God and remove his influence from the human race and not be burdened by his laws and commandments. This scheme has been tried many, many times, but nobody has ever succeeded. Satan tried it. Isaiah 14th chapter and the 12th through the 14th verse says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Satan has always wanted to be like God. He's always wanted to remove God and be God himself. Satan made a vow to dethrone God and set himself up as God. His goal is to rid the world of God's influence and the morals and values proclaimed in the scriptures. And he will stop at nothing to accomplish this goal. Satan attempted to dethrone God in the Garden of Eden by manipulating Eve into disobeying God. In the book of Genesis, the third chapter and the fifth verse says that Satan told Eve, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Satan told her she would be like God, and here's what she did. Verse 6 says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And what happened? Satan accomplished what he set out to do. Man's death in trespasses and sins has allowed Satan to continue his evil influence and manipulation of the human race. Second Chronicles tells the story of wicked King Ahaz. He tried to remove God from society by burning all the manuscripts of the law. Nearly 100 years later, the priest Hilkiah found a copy of the law hid under a pile of stone and rubbish in one of the little rooms surrounding the court of the temple. King Josiah had ordered Hilkiah to clean up the temple and restore temple services. When King Josiah read the law, he was astonished. He rent his clothes in repentance. Throughout history, many attempts to destroy the Bible or to keep it out of the hands of the common people have failed. The Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes rejected Christ. They brought Christ before Pilate, and the people cried, "Crucify him, give us Barabbas." They thought they had gotten rid of God. Peter says in Acts 4:25-28, "Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before it had be done." What the Pharisees and Sadducees thought that they were doing was getting rid of God. They didn't realize they were doing what God himself had planned from the beginning of time. And that plan was to send his son to redeem a people he chose and adopted from the foundation of the world. The atonement was made and God's children were set free from the bondage of sin. The chains were broken. Neither the kings of the earth or leaders, none of the leaders in authority, can disrupt the plans of an almighty sovereign God. America's founding fathers understood that all government is based on either a godly foundation or a godless foundation. Our founding fathers, like George Washington, understood that countries whose systems of government embrace national godless and immoral views ultimately come to ruin. Strong religious convictions, therefore, played a role in the development of the United States, which was established on Christian principles and open to all people of goodwill. In 1892, this was argued before the Supreme Court of the United States. After exhaustive deliberation, the court said, "Our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise, and in this sense and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian." How fortunate we are to live in a society based on the principle of God, but there are people who would have it otherwise. The same evil influences that David was talking about in today's text are alive and well today. Listen to me. Modern history gives us plenty of examples of what can happen when evil people set out to destroy the influence of God in a society. We know what happened when Hitler took over Germany and murdered 6 million Jews, or when Stalin came to power in Russia, or when Mussolini was dictator in Italy, or Mao Zedong in China. Rulers like these are responsible for killing more people during times of peace than those killed in all wars combined. And have you ever noticed that the religious people persecuted are those who worship the Judeo-Christian God of the Bible? 75% of religious persecution in the world is against Christians. We've seen many godless nations throughout the history of the world, but let's look now. I want us to take a look now at one nation in the process of becoming a nation where God is absent. In 1958, a book was published in America that outlined the goals of those who had already set out to destroy this Christian nation and remove it from the influence and presence of God. The goals were divided into categories. Now listen to me. First, destroy families. Make divorce easy. Encourage cohabitation, that's living together without being married. Encourage homosexuality. Get people to think of it as normal, natural, and healthy. Promote feminist movements. Get women out of the home where they have less influence on their children. Get children into early education programs where they can be indoctrinated. The next goal outlined in this book was to destroy businesses. Promote the environment and make laws and regulations that make it hard on business growth. And the final goal, if accomplished, would destroy the culture of religion and morality. Forbid Christian customs and practices in public places. Prohibit speech that criticizes homosexuality or calls it a sin. Promote pornography and obscenity. Obscenity and profanity by calling it freedom of speech and expression. But the greatest and most destructive manipulation of Satan in religion today is the twisting of Scripture to create a false doctrine that satisfies man's needs but has him worshiping a God that is not the God of the Bible. It is a doctrine that elevates man and discredits God. It is a false doctrine that says God can't save you unless you let him. It is a false doctrine that says Jesus Christ came to save everybody, but he's a failure because he can't get everybody to accept him as their Savior. These false doctrines set up a religious system that puts man in charge of his own salvation. They are like the religious people of Jesus' day, and here's what Jesus said about those people in Matthew 15 and 7 through the 9th verse. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The vast majority of Christians in America believe that they have to allow God to save them by accepting Jesus as their Savior. They worship in vain because they worship a God who is not sovereign. Our ancestors who came to this country, now listen to me, the ones that came to this country, where we came from, they didn't believe this way. They believed in a sovereign God who chose his people before the foundation of the world and sent Christ to redeem them. Their sins were paid for in full at Calvary, and there is nothing they have to do. The work has been finished. But this new doctrine, which has swept through the churches of America, has succeeded in destroying the influence of the church in our society by taking salvation out of the hands of God and putting it in the hands of man. In 1958, the majority of Americans thought these goals outlined in this book would never be accomplished in America. But in the 1960s, the United States experienced a God is Dead movement, and Madeline O'Hara succeeded in getting prayer and Bible reading removed from schools. And in 1971, another book was published and dedicated to Lucifer. It detailed a systematic plan to take down our religious and moral culture and remove the influence of the God our founding fathers established this great nation upon. The goals that had been outlined that would turn this free God-fearing nation into a godless state would be accomplished through schools and universities, Hollywood and the entertainment industry and the media. For the past 50 years, the policies that call good evil and evil good have moved our culture in a direction that will destroy it. Hollywood has been the great destroyer of the family. Movies and television have brought adultery, pornography, homosexuality, and profanity into our living rooms. Laws have been passed that have made it easy to get a divorce. In fact, 50% of marriages end in divorce. It is easy to get an abortion. There are 3,000 unborn babies murdered each day in this country. 40% of children are born out of wedlock, and there are 19 million new cases of sexually transmitted diseases reported each year. Schools and universities have indoctrinated our children against morality. Against morality. They have been taught that there is no right or wrong. Everything is relative. Educators are not allowed, by law, to discipline children, and parents are afraid to discipline their own children for fear of being charged with child abuse. Today, suicide is the third leading cause of death in ages 15 to 24, and the fourth leading cause of death in ages 10 to 14. School violence has increased, and there has been an increase of children attacking their parents. Our laws are made to protect criminals, to protect the earth and animals, and to destroy human prosperity and productivity. When we speak out against sin, we're accused of hate crimes. When we speak out against nudity, obscenities, and profanities in books and magazines, we are accused of favoring censorship rather than free speech. When we stand up for what is right and good, we are demonized. Our laws have shifted so much toward human rights that we have given criminals the right that violate the rights of their victims. Thousands of criminals are turned loose in society every day because of technicalities. Our laws bend over backwards to protect minorities from discrimination, but discriminate against those who are the very backbone of our society. Organizations like the ACLU have been so influential and so powerful that workers now have power over employers and students have power over their teachers. Teachers are resigning every day because they cannot discipline children. The law will not allow an adult in authority to discipline a rebellious and disobedient child. In Genesis, God gave man dominion over the animals, but animal rights activists have turned God's order, his order of dominion, upside down. Animal rights advocates argue that animals should not be regarded as property or treated as resources for human purposes, but should instead be regarded as legal persons and members of the moral community. We don't have to establish the fact that this nation is a religious nation. There's churches on every corner, mosques and synagogues everywhere. There are thousands of denominations with as many creeds, covenants, and articles of faith. There are Bibles in almost every home, in hotel rooms, and jail cells. The internet is filled with religious sites. Not all are based on truth, but they believe in something. So it would be false to say they are not religious. This country is religious. We call ourselves a Christian nation, but most of the religious denominations in this country are a perversion of Christianity. It is a religion that tolerates sin, allows the things of the world into the church, and proclaims a false doctrine that exalts man and takes God off his throne. How can we expect a God such as we proclaim in our religious institutions, a God who needs man's permission to save him? How can we expect a God such as this to save our nation from the socialist path that it is on if he needs man's help to save his own people? We need to think about the crooked path our religious beliefs have taken us down and get back to the apostles' doctrine that will lead us down the straight path. The policies for making God irrelevant in society have even infiltrated our churches. Revealed religion has been replaced with social religion, and the Bible has been discredited. In 2 Chronicles, wicked King Ahaz tried to remove God from society by burning all the manuscripts of the law. That isn't the strategy today. Listen to me now. The strategy today is to infiltrate the religious system and overload it with false doctrines in order to confuse Christians and keep them off guard. The market has been flooded with so many Bible translations that Christians are confused. You can buy a gay-friendly Queen James Bible with all the verses that forbid homosexuality removed for just $34.95 at Amazon. Does that make homosexuality okay? Some people think so. in many church pulpits. In many church pulpits today, you'll hear tolerance of sin preached rather than what God's Word says against sin. The loss of credibility and influence of our churches has contributed to creating an immoral society in America. In America today, destroying the values and morals of a society through its religious system is the strategy Satan has used to discredit God and His influence for good in America. We need to look to God's Word for the instructions He gives us for our daily lives, our education, our government, and our fellowship with others. God established patterns of authority within family relationships. In Exodus, the 20th chapter and the 12th verse, it commands children to obey their parents. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter and the 22nd verse, and in Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 18th verse, command wives to submit to their husbands, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Husbands are commanded to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Parents are admonished to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Scripture sanctions a pattern of authority in work and social relationships. Paul says in Ephesians 6 and 5 through 9, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Workers are to serve their employers as they would serve God, and employers are to be to their workers as their heavenly master is to them. But in our culture today, there is no moral work ethic. Employees want to be paid for doing nothing. They call in sick when they want to stay home and watch a ball game, and they take no pride in doing a job well. Products made in America tend to be sloppily made and cost more because our hourly wage laws and labor protection laws, which make it nearly impossible to fire someone for not doing his job. In our society today, man has rebelled against God and violated every pattern of authority that God has ordained. This moving away from God has not been accidental, brothers and sisters. It has been a premeditated, systematic implementation of policies by those in authority to destroy the values and moral fiber of this nation in order to remove the very presence and influence of God from among us. It is a vain thing, I'm telling you today. But what does God have to say about all this? In His prophetic psalm about the rejection and crucifixion of the Messiah and the plot against Him by those in authority, David says in verses 4 and 5, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. God sits in the heavens on His throne and laughs at their vain and fruitless attempts to nullify His plans to destroy Christ, to remove themselves from His government, and His laws. Their efforts will be in vain. They will be fruitless. God is still on His throne. He still rules and reigns from the heavens. Those who attempt to destroy Him or to sabotage His plans will fail. Their attempts are in vain. They will never succeed, as history has proved over and over again. It is true that we know the end of the story. The problem is that we don't know when the end will come. We may be here on earth for another 2,000 years before Christ comes to take us home. What kind of world do we want for mankind for the next 2,000 years? What kind of world do we want for our children for the next 20 or 30 or 50 years? Do we want our children to live under a dictator or in a Babylonian captivity? That's where we are headed. I'm telling you that today, brothers and sisters. The goals have been accomplished. The only thing left is for Americans to lose their First and Second Amendment rights, and the powers that be are working on that right now. What can we do to affect our future? In verses 10 and 12, David issues advice to future generations of the gospel dispensation of Christ. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. First, David says, be wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Second, David says, be instructed. Look at the past and learn from history. Learn from those who allowed their country to be taken over by a dictator and suffered from the mass murder and horrors that followed. Third, David says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. God has promised blessings to those who obey and curses to those who disobey. Next, David says, kiss the Son, love him, adore him, worship him. All attempts to take counsel against God and his anointing, Jesus Christ, are in vain. They will fail. But in the meantime, man will suffer the consequences of his actions that dishonor God and his anointed Jesus Christ. Finally, David reminds us, blessed are all they that put their trust in the Lord. My prayer today, brothers and sisters, that this country would return to the oracles of God that this country was founded upon. Our founding fathers set this country up to worship and to obey his commandments, and we have fallen away from those. May the Lord bless you today.